A kid playing all around every day. Oh my God. And now in the United States, you have to work a lot. It's very hard. But it's also, you feel free to do whatever you want. You want, for example, go to China, and you go to China. You want to go to the beach, then you go to the beach. In Cuba, there is still a few things that you can do, like speak.
Yeah. And Damaso?
Yeah, I hope for a change that results in I hope to have a relationship personally with Cuba, and I hope my family and my kids and grandkids can have a relationship with Cuba and continue to be Americans.
That's Damaso Rodriguez and Jorge Gomez. Damaso is the artistic director of the Artist Repertory Theater, and Jorge is the founder and musical director of Tiempo Libre. Damaso and Jorge join me live in studio to talk about their amazing production of Cuba Libre. Cuba Libre is currently running at the Winningstad Theater in downtown Portland through November 15th. Damaso and Jorge, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me.
Thank you.
And that's it for Stage and Studio. Thanks to engineer Janet Anderson. If you missed any of the show, visit kboo.fm/stageandstudio. We're listening to Se Formó La Rumba by Tiempo Libre. And sitting in for Dime Roberts, I'm Sarika Mehta. Thanks for listening.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of How We Got On at the Portland Playhouse, Wednesday through Sundays until October 25th. Directed by Jen Rowe, How We Got On is the story of three teenagers in the suburbs of the Midwest who dream of fame in the golden age of hip-hop in the late 80s. That's How We Got On, Wednesdays through Saturdays at 7:30 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. through October 25th at the Portland Playhouse, 602 Northeast Prescott Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Hip-hopping is the thing that's in. It's where the Stone Cold Nitro party begins. So listen, party people with the ear to the street, the college professor and the social elite, to the fly young guys and the pretty girl. IT is going to tell you about the hip-hop world. Hip-hopping is a way of life.
Andy Warhol looks at screen. Hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen. Can't tell them apart at all.
My name is Joseph Gallivan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guests this week are Celie Pines, the director of Design Week Portland, and Brad Smith, a board member of the Association of Independent Graphic Artists. They're here to talk about Design Week Portland pop-up, which started on Saturday the 10th of October and runs through Saturday 17th of October. Thanks for coming into KBOO.
Our pleasure.
You bet.
Celie, Design Week Portland, it's been going for 4 years now.
We're coming up on our fourth.
And you made a bit of a break. Now you have a pop-up and then you have something bigger next year.
Yeah, we started out in the fall. We've had three festivals in October to date, and we decided to push to the spring, and both to keep up the momentum in the longer interim between festivals, and as a way of sort of previewing what we have in store, we're doing a little pop-up where it's a mini version of the independent festival that we run, where we'll have one open house and one event each day.
Mm-hmm. So you sort of call on the local design community to either open up their like office, you know, so people can go and look at what they do, mm-hmm. or you get interesting people to do a talk. Mm-hmm. So how hard is it to get people to do that?
We actually found the first year that once there was a certain critical mass, there was a lot of interest from the community in participating. We were pretty surprised actually by the level of engagement that we got the first year, and really inspired by that to scale up what we were doing. And year over year, we've been increasing. The first year to the second year, there was more than a double jump in the amount of programming and the number of people that were engaged with the festival. Mm-hmm. And it's been a solid uptick ever since. So this is a very motivated community.
Mm-hmm. Are they good talkers?
Some people are better as practitioners. Some people really shine in both contexts, both as, you know, hands-on practicing designers and also really compelling speakers. So there's a way for people to engage at every level. If folks are better at just meeting one-on-one, they can do an open house mm-hmm. and invite people in and chat with them about what they do. And for those that have, you know, bigger ideas and bigger messages, there's a platform for them to speak.
But all these things, there'll be stuff to look at.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's a real variety of programming during the festival, particularly during the full festival, where events can run the entire gamut from talks to panels to exhibits to installations to we've had an auction, we've had readings, we've had screenings. There's every manner of event that you can think of. And even open houses have a real variety. It can be anything from a retail location where you meet the makers behind the products in the store to a studio that's usually not open to the public where the folks who are working on really interesting projects can share what they're working on and show process and sketches to making spaces where you can actually see how products get made.
Mm-hmm. So tonight, which is Tuesday, 13th of October, there's a company called Set who mm-hmm. are known for their pretty groovy things they build. What do they build? Shops?
They do a lot of retail spaces, but they also do exhibits. They are a design build company that really does a lot of exciting environmental graphics and built environments. So they've done a lot of work with sort of the usual suspects that you can think of in retail locations, but also exhibits. And they were intimately involved last year in our full festival. They helped us kind of build out a whole concept at our opening party. So they also throw a killer open house, I must say. Last year, it was one of the bigger productions on the bill, and I understand that they're coming in full force tonight as well.
So this is 4 till 7 o'clock tonight, and it's actually open to the public?
It is.
Just roll up.
That's right.
The mayor will be there.
Yeah, the mayor's coming. Or so we hear. Yeah. That's the word on the street. Open houses are really structured to be completely open without ticketing. Just walk up. You know, if you're in the neighborhood and you hear something going on, come by. During the full festival, we have multiple locations clustered in a quadrant, so it's really a walking tour. During this pop-up, there's a single destination, so there should be also a bigger cluster of folks at each location.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then who's talking tonight in the evening?
So tonight it's going to be Post Typography. They're speaking at PSU. They're coming in from Baltimore, and they're pretty exciting pair that do a lot of graphic design and illustration.
These are the punk rockers.
They are punk rockers. Well, I don't know if they're actual musicians, but their ethos is quite punk rock.
Yeah, their photo is two guys in a sort of office that's been torn apart.
Yes,
right?
Yes. It should be quite good. So that is actually a ticketed event. It's free, but you have to look and see if there's still space.
But this is for people to get really excited about typography.
Yeah, typography and graphic design. It's for anyone who's ever kind of wondered, how visual communication pieces come together, it will be a peek into how practicing designers think. So it should be of interest, not to just graphic designers, but, designers across the spectrum and even the lay public. There's some good nuggets for everybody.
Mm-hmm. What do they do? I mean, on their website, they have a bunch of tiny images that look like book covers and what's their kind of bread and butter?
Yeah, I mean, graphic designers in general can take on any manner of projects. It could be anything from a book or a catalog to really anything that you can think of that's designed that has a two-dimensional design element could be the purview of a graphic designer.
But Post, what do they like doing?
They're well known for their work on The Wire, and I think they will be talking about that tonight.
The TV show?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
you're going to have to come to find out.
Okay, I like the idea of a punk rock typographer. And then Wednesday, the 14th, there's a big thing at Zeebo where you've got four different people talking about future technology and how to make it kind of usable.
There's going to be kind of a quick succession of four talks from folks who are working on futuristic type of technologies. And a lot of the conversation is going to be centered around how do you make things that are new more adopted? How do you make it more palatable to the mainstream? How do you make it feel less frightening? Because disruptive new things can feel quite threatening if they're not well integrated into the mm-hmm. culture. There's going to be one of the senior staff designers at Google Now, the innovation strategist at Intel, and the executive creative director at Zeebo. And there's also going to be one of the executive fellows at Zeebo, who's the CEO at Monogoto. For those who don't know, Zeebo is a global design and innovation firm. They're well known for product design. They also do a lot of digital and service design.
What's service design?
It's thinking about the entire experience of anything from healthcare, when you can walk into a doctor's office, the entire flow of how you get through the system.
Oh, yeah.
It's really user-centered design.
Mm-hmm. It's big in Europe. There's agencies that focus on service design over there, much more than here. So mm-hmm. if you look at most of the practitioners, a lot of them are in Europe.
Mm-hmm. Is that like Zoom care? You know, it's sort of like a whole experience, a big logo, and a, like a, everything's like been thought out. Is that the kind of thing you're talking about?
No, I'm actually talking about thinking about when there's any kind of service, and particularly when a brand is delivering a service, you kind of have to think top to bottom that every experience that a person has when they walk through your door to when they interact with like any aspect of what you're providing them, that all relates back to the brand and that it needs to be focused on the user's experience all the way through. And sometimes that's a very brand heavy thing, like you want them to have certain feelings and impressions, but sometimes it's actually figuring out how do you best deliver care in the context of healthcare, or how do you best take a user's needs into account to give them exactly the experience that will address their need at that time.
Is that a new field?
I don't know that it's such a new field. Maybe awareness about it as its own discrete practice is more recent, but a lot of user experience design has an aspect of service design involved in it. IDEO is well known for a lot of their work in this area, and Zeebo locally is one of the firms that's really putting resources towards it.
Mm-hmm. So they're going to be talking about new technology, mm-hmm. like mobile technology and...
Yeah, really anything on the bleeding edge. A lot of that has to do with technology serving needs in a way that can actually get integrated well. And a lot of that has to do with anthropology, like understanding how people want to use technology and bridging the divide between what we can now do, like what we're empowered to do with technology, and what people need and how they want to adopt those things into their lives.
Thursday's talk will be Paula Scheer. Brad, what do you know about this person?
Paula is one of the leading designers in the country, and she's very well known for some of her very energetic typographic posters. She did a lot of work for the Public Theater. One of her posters for a Broadway show, Bring In the Noise, Bring In the Funk, is in the Museum of Modern Art. She's going to do an interesting, no-holds-barred kind of talk about identity design today and why the blogosphere should shut up. I predict that she will be very candid about her thoughts on that. She works with Pentagram, and her coworker, Michael Beirut, designed the logo for Hillary Clinton and got a lot of flack for it.
Oh, the Hillary 2016 one?
That is correct, sir. Yes. In fact, she just spoke at the Brand New conference recently, and I'm sure that she had something to say about that there, because the fellow who runs it, Armin Witt, has a blog called Under Consideration, and they definitely are very vocal about brands and rebrands. And there's the famous, I think most famous one was about the Gap rebranding, and I think they really ripped the Gap five different ways.
So when you hear about a new terribly lame logo, it might be spearheaded by one of these blogs.
That's right.
Yeah.
What's her position? That they getting it wrong, these blogs?
I think her position is that, if I can take liberties, it might be that a lot of times those kinds of posts can take identities way out of context. Sometimes they're even getting early looks at identities and they're not necessarily seeing how the entire system plays out. So their criticism is really not rooted in understanding the entire brief that that identity was trying to solve, the use cases for all of those deliverables, and basically jumps the gun in fully understanding and weighing the various virtues and challenges of a solution.
Mm-hmm. Well, the interesting thing now is there's an old saying, everyone's a critic. Well, now everybody's a critic in milliseconds because of the internet. You can publish your ideas very quickly. So I think that what Celia said is right. People can comment and jump in on something sometimes without realizing the full context of that brand and identity development. So mm-hmm. that you don't really have time for people to settle and really look at it as it's being applied. And instead, people go for the jugular pretty quickly. I guess that's where we are right now in the state of politics and criticism and everything in America right now.
And I think it's often like a race to the finish. People want to be the first to weigh in on something. And so the pressure to deliver an opinion in a timely fashion is pretty great. I think all of the forces kind of favor a surface reaction to something as opposed to a true understanding of the entire landscape surrounding it.
It does seem like criticizing a new logo has become a popular sport now. It's no longer a niche thing you'd read about in Ad Age. It's like pops up in your Facebook and it's like, oh, Google have a new logo, and everyone says how much they hate it and it moves on.
I think it's pretty interesting that design has sort of elevated into popular sport, you know, just that the public in general feels aware enough of design to feel like it's worth weighing in on. It's hard to remember, but this was not the case until pretty recently. To me, just from the standpoint of the Venn diagram between design and populist consciousness is totally interesting.
I don't think that we've ever seen such a attention to brand. I mean, I think that Mad Men and some of these other shows really helped elevate it a lot because it became a form of style, culture, entertainment, all wrapped up together. And in some ways, I think that the very people behind developing brands are the people responsible for this attention and focus on the brand and criticism of brands and identity. So
have they made their own bed?
They have sometimes. I'd really like to also say that AIGA Portland, working with Design Week, have been trying to put together some really innovative programming and bring names of and people to Portland who have opinions and have ideas. And the hope is that we as a design community can really have that conversation beyond Design Week and beyond these events. It's interesting to see some of the things that design studios are producing, some of the work that they're producing now, and it feels like Portland in itself has become and is becoming more of a hub for design and care about it from not only from graphic design, but to the design of the city and architecture and our built environment. So, and that's what the interesting thing is, that Design Week kind of covers a lot of those aspects and tells that story in a really interesting way.
My name's Joseph Gallivan, and you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guests this week are Celie Pines, the director of Design Week Portland, and Brad Smith, a board member of the AIGA. You're talking about Pop-Up, the part of Design Week, which is the new, early, smaller part of the festival. Mm-hmm. What is it with architects that they love disposable buildings now and pop-up things?
Well, I think pop-ups in general and the prevalence of pop-up everything, including pop-up retail locations and pop-up dining experiences, really started accelerating during the economic downturn. It was just a low bar of entry to test ideas, to take advantage of storefronts that were not occupied for a short period of time and kind of get in and get out before a tenant came in. It was just a lower overhead sort of approach to trying things, to getting in front of new audiences, to experimenting. I love that it can often lead to more permanent fixtures. So if you test something in a pop-up and it's really working, it can grow into more of a year-round enterprise, whether it's a restaurant or a retail location that sees enough success to justify opening a real location year-round.
When someone gets a brief in your world to do a pop-up something, design it, what's the main thing? Are they told to go fast? Is that it?
Again, often these pop-up situations are very DIY, and I think that that's the origins of it, is to see an opportunity, and of course you want to do things in the most fabulous way you possibly can to attract attention and interest. But then because it became kind of a thing, it was a way for larger brands to see opportunities to test some new offshoot or do things that are a little bit more off-center to just see if they can make a new product work or a new concept work. And sometimes it's just frankly a ploy. It depends. I think a lot about the whole permanence and impermanence thing, especially with the way that we do Design Week. We have an installation each year on Pioneer Courthouse Square where we're doing something that engages the public, and we think a lot about all of the elements that go into that and how to reduce waste on it and actually make things reusable and do things that don't just kind of add to the landfill. And it's important to think about low-hanging opportunities to test things and put things in front of the public, but also to think about not doing things that are wasteful. We try really hard to think through all of those things.
I think that the interesting thing about pop-ups, while they did come out of the economic downturn, they are really truly kind of prototypes and experiments, which is really fascinating because for a smaller investment of time, and especially using newer techniques like laser cutters and 3D printers and new printing, digital printing techniques, you can really quite quickly test a concept, you know? And I think that's pretty exciting because not only do you maybe test a retail concept, but also test a built environment concept. And you kind of really look at how people engage with the surroundings, with the city, with the environment. And I think that actually we're going to see a lot more of that. And if you look for something that's Portland-based, that's kind of a manifestation of that, you can see like the food carts. You know, you see a progression of somebody testing a concept and then actually, you know, becoming a fixed-in-place restaurant space. I think that Design Week is kind of very experimental in that way, where you're constantly trying, you know, testing things, and you don't have a paid staff of a lot of, you know, of people there to do this. You have to be inventive. You have to work in a very lean way to get things done. And this kind of experimentation has really developed some very cool programming behind it.
Seeley, you're sort of in charge of Creative Mornings, is that right?
That's right.
Portland? And you have one of them this Friday. It's Adam Arnold.
Yes.
Clothing designer.
Yes.
He's been here 13 years and he makes bespoke clothing.
He does.
Men's and women's.
Yeah.
He's going to talk about Shock.
Yes. Creative Mornings is actually a global series. There are chapters all over the world, over 100 of them, and Portland is just one in this enormous network. And the way that all of the programming kind of ties together globally is that we have monthly themes that all of the different chapters program around. And actually, the chapters themselves choose the themes one after the other in the order in which the chapter was added to the series. They get to submit their theme for the entire world to program around. The theme gets broadcast out from the mothership, and then you're programming around that. So Shock was the theme for October. Trying to tie it into Design Week, I reached out to Adam because he is very, very well respected locally. The quality of his clothes is pretty much unparalleled, and he has a very, very loyal following of people who come back to him time and time again to make pieces. He's also a very outspoken member of the fashion community here. He's quite colorful, and he has a really interesting background where he's done so many different odd jobs and has had so many interesting life experiences that inform the work ethic that he has and the perspective that he has about creating clothing. He just seemed like a perfect fit. I even don't know exactly how he's going to play the content, but he was really compelled by the theme, and I'm very curious to see what he does with it.
Has he ever made any clothes for you?
I'm terrible. I'm like the most unfashionable person on earth, you know? I need like a pair of jeans and a plain colored top. Like, every day. I've been buying like the same thing for years and years. So
is that a design decision?
It's honestly a busy person decision. I just don't have the bandwidth to make choices. There's too many other things to think about.
Adam Arnold's going to be talking, and then the same Friday evening is an open house at Allied Works.
Yes.
And they're kind of like the big famous architecture firm in town.
They are.
So what do you see? Their office is over by the Timbers Stadium, right?
Yeah, it's close. I think it's Morrison and 15th.
Yeah.
The interesting thing there is really the people. It's an architecture firm, so they have models and things that they work on. But that team is totally amazing because they've been working together for a very long time. They're a very, very cohesive team.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
When you say team, how many people do you mean?
Oh, like how many people 10? Work there? I think it's the most senior people have been there for a very long time. Brad Klotfel actually did a Creative Mornings talk a couple of years ago where he was talking about how they've been working together so long that, you know, it's like you get into a rhythm where you really understand how everybody works, and it actually reduces a lot of drag on the creative process because you're really just such a well-oiled machine. A lot of the folks there have been part of all of the flagship projects that came out of that practice, including the Wyden Kennedy building mm-hmm. here. And
have you wandered around the art school?
The
PNCA?
One in... Oh, PNCA. Oh, yeah. That is a totally interesting project, the sort of modernization of this very old building and the mix of old and new there. Huge challenge. Very interesting to see how they solved it. I think, as with most open houses, like there's a certain kind of open house that's, you know, experiential and just seeing something in process or a demo. And then there's others where it's really just getting access to talk to the people that are working in the trenches on these really interesting projects and having access to ask them about the projects that they've worked on or what their process is like, and just kind of gain some insight into how they think about their work. A lot of it really comes down to the people.
If you were like a young designer looking for a job, mm-hmm. do you network in the same way that other people do, like Nike people or whatever, or bankers or marketing people? You know, they basically go out and they hang out, and that makes the connection, and it mm-hmm. kind of pays off later. Are designers like that? Are they that friendly?
Designers are no exception to the way things happen, which is just that it really is about relationships. And one of the main functions of Design Week actually is to provide opportunities for people to cross paths. And that's both in the sense of meeting people who are working in the same discipline as you, where you might be able to share resources or, you know, offer each other opportunities, but also to cross paths cross-disciplinary, in a cross-disciplinary way, where, you know, a graphic designer might meet an architect and there might be some sort of magic that happens there. And to me, one of the biggest contributions that Design Week has provided is this kind of, you know, opportunity for happy collisions where people really do cross paths that might not otherwise, just because they're going to an event outside of their specialty, and that you know, new and interesting work can come out of that.
The last thing that you have is a talk on Saturday mm-hmm. at Portland Center Stage, mm-hmm. and it's a couple of costume designers mm-hmm. talking about how they work in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
Is costume design big here? And there's only two theaters, right?
It's so interesting. Like, Portland is a small town, and yet there's like a little of everything here. You know, there are designers that are based here that work nationally and internationally. So it's not necessarily just people who are working on projects that see the light of day at Portland Center Stage, for example. They might also be doing work out of market for other theaters. So there's more work than just what's here locally.
Yeah.
But yeah, that should be a really interesting event in that it's, you know, two designers interviewing each other and talking about how they work with the larger design teams, you know, the lighting designers, the stage designers, directors, and how they kind of come up with their concepts in the context of this much larger production that's happening. So whereas I think in general with apparel design, you know, you're solving for a very contained problem set, which is just the person and what they're wearing. These things exist in this larger environment and tell that whole story. So it really plugs into a lot of different elements. So that should be a really interesting piece. There's also an open house actually that day at Hand Eye Supply.
Saturday the 17th?
Uh-huh. So that's a retail location, and they're going to have like a barbecue going on and a bunch of, I think they're having a slideshow of kind of like how that space evolved into the current space that it is, which is pretty interesting. It'll be kind of another opportunity for everyone to gather on the weekend. Next April, we're going to be launching initial information about the main stage that we're planning. So for the first time, we're going to have 2 days of centrally programmed experience, bringing people together at Revolution Hall for talks across all design disciplines, sort of looking at systems design. And we're going to be putting out our call for independent events and open houses to get the community involved. And we're really excited to see what people are planning and thinking of doing for April. The pop-up serves as like an appetizer of sorts mm-hmm. for the much larger thing that we're going to be now doing in the spring. And we're very excited to share an initial look at what that programming is shaping up to look like.
I'm Joseph Gallivan. You've been listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guests this week were Seeley Pines, Director of Design Week Portland, and Brad Smith, board member of the AIGA. They were talking about Design Week Portland pop-up, which ends on Saturday, 17th of October. And next April, Design Week Portland will run from April 15th to April 23rd. Thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you.
Thanks, Punch.
Andy Warhol looks at screen. Hang him on.